5 of the psalm. You'll find it on the page 94, a wonderful psalm of thanksgiving. O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5, we'll stand as we sing. Stand as we sing. For his help and blessing and presence with us here today. Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for this day that thou hast given to us, the Lord's Day, and that we can gather here in this season of public worship. Through no merit of our own, we come to thee, O God. We come through the name and through the merits of Christ, thy Son, our Savior, and our blessed and our only Redeemer. And Father, we thank thee for him who knew no sin, who came into this world as our sin bearer. And Father, we thank thee that he set his face to go to the cross. Nothing deterred him, nothing stopped him from going to the cross. And Father, we thank that there upon that cross he willingly laid down his life, a ransom for the many. Indeed, he could say, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And Father, we thank thee, Father, for the shedding of Christ's precious blood to cleanse away our sins. We thank thee, Father, for that cry that went up from the cross, it is finished. And Father, we thank thee that he offered himself without spot unto God to purge our conscience from dead works through the blood of the Lamb, that we might serve the one and only and true and living God. And O God, we thank thee for the words of this psalm today that we've been singing. How the psalmist could say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who pardon all thy transgressions. And Father, we thank thee for all the benefits and the blessings of thy so great salvation that has been heaped upon us freely and graciously as the people of God, and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone as our Savior and as our Redeemer. And Father, we do thank thee, Lord, that thou hast promised that where thy people meet, Thou said, there am I in the midst. And Father, we thank Thee for their Sunday school that's already this morning, O God. And Father, we pray that Thou would bless the word to the boys and girls, that early and young in life, each one of them will know the Lord and trust the Lord as their Savior and grow up to follow the Lord and to serve the Lord. Bless all the homes from which they come from, Lord. Be pleased to save them and unite all their family circles in the Lord. O God, we beseech of Thee. Remember, Lord, those that labor in our Sunday school. May they know great help and blessing and encouragement in this work this year. We thank the Lord that Thou hast promised that our labors in the Lord are not in vain. And again, Lord, we thank Thee for all who have gathered with us here this morning in Thy house. Bless every head bowed before Thee, O God. Remember every family represented. Do meet the need of all our homes, our hearts, our lives, we pray. Bless our family circles. Do unite them in the Lord. Where there are particular needs, we pray that by Thy grace and power, that the Lord would come and meet every need. We thank Thee, Father, for each one in our gathering today who is saved. The Lord, bless Thy people. Lead Thy people on with Thyself. Draw every believer closer, Lord, to Thee, we pray. For any, Lord, maybe walking afar from Thee today, may they know Thy restoring grace and touch. And Lord, for any with us today outside of Christ, Lord, speak to them. And may this very day be the day of their salvation, of coming to Christ for salvation. You do remember, Lord, those unable to join with us today because of age and sickness and infirmity, those that are led aside in hospital and in residential care, Lord, bless them and minister to them by the mighty grace and by the mighty power of God divine, we pray. And Father in heaven, we do pray for those who mourn and grieve and those who have suffered loss even in this community in recent times. We pray that Thou will comfort their hearts, that Thou will fill the vacant chair with the presence of the Lord, and that they will know that underneath and all around are the everlasting arms of the Savior. Bless us today as we sing Thy praises, as we read Thy word, as we preach Thy word. Have Thy way in all our hearts. O Lord, help us not only to hear Thy word, but Lord, help us to do Thy word, to live out Thy word in our lives, we pray. Bless us also, Lord, around the table of the Lord as we remember Calvary, what Christ has done for us, what He means to us, O God. We pray that we might be blessed and drawn closer to the Savior and conform to Him more and more day by day, we pray. Again, Lord, we thank Thee for the mission this past week. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy presence and blessing in the meetings night by night and for the visitors that Thou hast brought in under the sound of Thy word, and especially those that have been in unsaved. Speak on to their hearts and save them, Lord, and bring them back again in this second week, we pray. Remember the meetings as they would continue again this afternoon and throughout the entire week. Grant Thy presence, Thy help, Thy blessing, and grant, Lord, that Thou would visit that community, Lord, at this time in a mighty way and in mighty power, we pray, and that there'll be those who will trust Thee as Savior, and that Thy saints and the people of God would be blessed and encouraged in the ways of God. Bless our land, O God, today we pray. We commit all our sister congregations to Thee. Remember, wherever Thy word is faithfully proclaimed, bless it and use it, Lord, to the furtherance of Thy kingdom. We do pray, Lord, for our missionaries today who labor for Thee at home and far from home. Bless them and protect them and encourage them. We pray, Lord, for Thy persecuted people today, Lord, that Thou would bless them and watch over them and protect them also and use them for Your glory and honor. Remember Thy people in the land of Ukraine and the land of Israel especially. We pray that Thou would protect them and watch over them, and that even, Lord, at this time of great need, we pray that there will be a turning in the hearts of many unto the Lord, and that Thou will bring to naught the works of the evildoer, we ask of Thee. We pray, Lord, for our king and our royal family, that Thou will have mercy, Lord, upon them, that Thou, Lord, will touch their hearts and their lives, we pray, by the grace of God, and that there might be that turning to Thee, to Thy word, and to the light of the gospel, we pray. Remember again those that would rule in our land and nation. Have mercy, Lord, upon them, May they realize their responsibility in the light of God's word, and may there be a turning to thy word and to thy truth. And those that would seek to promote evil, which is contrary to thy word and laws, bring their plans to nothing, we ask of thee. And those that would profess thy name in government, give them grace and strength, Lord, to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. Lord, bless them, we ask of thee. Remember our land and all of its need, we pray. We pray, Lord, for revival. We pray, Lord, for days of reformation again. We pray for a turning in the hearts of many unto the Lord. And Lord, we come to thee like the psalmist of old. And Lord, we would cry, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Bless our hearts today. Do our hearts much good. And abide with us, we pray, and glorify the Savior, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Now we're going to turn, please, in God's word this morning for our scripture reading to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4. We're turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, reading from verse 17 of the chapter, going down to the end of the verse 22. And then we're turning back to the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, to the chapter 3, and reading one verse from that chapter, the verse number 3. So if you like to mark both those passages of Scripture, reading first of all from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 17, and then turning from there back to Nehemiah, chapter number 3, and the verse number 3. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this morning, reading first of all from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, and the verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Then turning back, please, to Nehemiah, chapter number 3, and just one verse, it is the verse number 3 of that chapter. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasaniah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Amen. We'll end our reading there at that verse number 3, and we pray that God would add his own blessing to the public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, want to welcome all this Lord's Day morning to God's house. Good to see all who have gathered with us today. We pray the Lord will richly bless you around God's word. If you're a child of God, may you be drawn closer to the Lord, your Savior. And if you're here today and you're not saved, our prayer is this day you'll take that step of faith, the most important step of your life, and trust the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior. To those that are joining with us online as well, we pray the Lord will bless you today. We thank you for joining us around God's word, and may the Lord speak to your heart through his word and truth today. The announcements for the week are as follows. Immediately after the service this morning is the Lord's table, and that is open to all who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord. You don't have to be a member of this church, but if you know and love the Lord as Savior, the Lord invites you to remember his death in his own appointed way. Also today, being the first Sunday of the month, is building fund and property fund offerings, so do remember that also, please. 3:30 p.m. this afternoon sees the commencement of the second week of the gospel mission in Lisbalaw, Orange Hall. There will be a time of prayer at 3 p.m. in the little back room. And the mission continues right through to this day week, Sunday the 10th of March, Monday to Friday, 8 p.m., and then the Sunday services at 3:30. The evangelist, Mr. Colin Maxwell, the Reverend Laurie Power and myself, and there'll be different singers and testimonies along each night. Do pray for the meetings. The Lord has richly blessed in the week that has gone by. We thank the Lord for the many visitors that have been in under the sound of God's Word, and do all you can to come along and to support the meetings this week and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's Word, and pray that the Lord will bless that community and further afield, even with the salvation of souls at this time. We just endeavor to keep the meetings for an hour or so each night. We don't tend to prolong them, but do remember the meetings and pray for them and plan to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's Word. During the mission, there'll be no Lord's Day evening service here in the church and also no midweek prayer meeting. This Tuesday afternoon at 2:30 is the monthly outreach gospel meeting in Gordacharan Nursing Home in Listnaskee. Do please pray for that. And remember the children's meetings as they continue this week. As normal, 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, Tresna; Wednesday, Lismalaw; Thursday, McGuire's Bridge; and Friday night here in Bethel. There'll be no youth fellowship on Friday night. Encourage the youth to come along and to support the mission. Friday morning, 11 a.m. is the monthly open-air gospel witness in the Diamond with our brother Colin and myself. Be praying for that. Indeed, if you're in the town that morning, do come along and join with us. And next Lord's Day, the 10th of March, Sunday School and Bible Class, 11 a.m. morning worship service, 12 noon, and then the concluding meeting of the mission at 3:30 in Lispelaw Orange Hall. Both services preceded by the half hour of prayer. Tomorrow night week, that's Monday night, the 11th of March at 8 p.m., is the monthly ladies' fellowship meeting. We commend that to all the ladies. All ladies are welcome, and to bring friends along with them. My wife Helen will be speaking at that meeting. This Friday night, the 8th of March, 8 p.m., is the ordination and installation of Mr. Jonathan Story as the new minister of our Mount Marion congregation. That service is in the Martyrs Memorial Church, so remember him as he takes up that work in your prayers. And then also this coming week, from Monday through to Friday, at 8 p.m. in our Lisburn Church, there's missionary meetings organized by our mission board. Again, be much in prayer for those meetings as well. Then Thursday night, the 14th of March, here in the church at 8 p.m., there's a meeting off the church session. Ask the brethren also to remember that, please. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to the hymn number 302. 302, we don't take up an offering during the meeting, but do remember the offering plates there at the rear as you leave. A great gospel hymn, reminding us of what we have in Christ. It says, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds, and these are red, with joy shall I lift up my head. 302, we'll keep our seats while we sing the early part of this hymn. final verse. We just turn to God's Word, to those passages we read earlier, to Nehemiah chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 4. Just keep those passages marked in your Bible. We'll just look to the Lord in a short word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank Thee for the theme of this great hymn that we've been singing. And Lord, our prayer is for each and every one in the gathering today that we know what it is to rejoice in Christ, cleansing through His blood and arrayed in the spotless robe of Christ's perfect righteousness. Bless us now as we turn to Thy holy word. Open our eyes today to behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Speak to our hearts as Thou would see our need. May we see Christ afresh in all His glory and all of His majesty and all of His power. May hearts and souls be drawn out after Him. May Thy people, Lord, be blessed and strengthened in their faith. And Lord, may sinners be saved and converted unto Thee. Answer prayer. Fill me now afresh with Thy Holy Spirit. Be mouth matter and wisdom unto us in the preaching of Thy word. Give right words from Thyself, we pray. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text today really consists of two verses. And one verse is verse 3 there of Nehemiah chapter 3. And then the second verse is over in Matthew chapter 4 and the verse number 19. We'll just read those two verses together. Nehemiah chapter 3 verse 3 says, "But the fish gate did the sons of Hasaniah build. He also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof." And then turning over to Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now Nehemiah chapter 3, in the verse number 3, mentions the repairing of the fish gate. That gate was situated on the northern side of Jerusalem's walls. And through this gate, fish were brought into the city from the Mediterranean Sea and also from the Sea of Galilee. And near this gate in the city of Jerusalem were fish markets. And here the merchants would do their business in the city of Jerusalem and to the people as they would pass by. Now the spiritual lesson through this fish gate reminds God's people of the great work of soul winning. And that great work of fishing for men. Last week we looked at the sheep gate. We saw how that reminds us of the great sacrifice of Christ. Indeed also the example of sacrifice in the life of the Christian in the service for God. Well, the fish gate reminds us of the spiritual lesson of the great work of the Christian in soul winning and fishing for men. And the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, He speaks to Andrew and his brother Simon Peter about this great work in Matthew chapter 4 and the verse number 19. And He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." As those who were saved by God's grace, these two brothers were to be employed in the great work of soul winning, the great work of being fishers of men. In other words, by God's grace in their life, they were to do what they could in their day and generation to direct others to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And can I say, yes, this is a work that all God's people are to be involved in. It was the Apostle Paul who could say that I might by all means save some. Indeed, the Bible says,
he that winneth souls is wise. And those words show us, yes, that it is possible for the believer, for the people of God, to win others to Christ and to be fishers of men. Indeed, it has been said that soul winning is that most royal employment. Again, someone else has penned the words and said that soul winning is the chief business of the Christian. Indeed, it should be the main pursuit of every true believer in Christ. And child of God, this great work of soul winning, yes, is to be our chief business also. This is to be our main pursuit as the people of God and members of the Church of Christ. As we would think then of the words of our text this morning, in this great work of soul winning, there are a number of thoughts I want to leave with you, and I trust they'll be a blessing and an encouragement to all our hearts as believers in this great task of seeking to point others to the Savior. Notice first of all here with me today the need for soul winners, the need for soul winners. And people, there is a tremendous need for soul winners. Why? Because the souls of men are lost in sin. And the souls of men are perishing in sin. Think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Mark, when he said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And there the Lord speaks of souls being lost in sin, perishing in sin. Think of the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. He said, "If the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Men and women, young people, boys and girls, all around us in society are lost in sin. The Bible says, "He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." That reminds us of the terrible ruin and havoc of sin in the lives of people and in society in general. And then the Bible declares that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Those solemn words remind you and I the awful end of sin, the awful penalty of sin. That when a soul dies in their sin, their soul is lost in hell forever. In the lake of fire, without hope, without God, and without Christ. The hymn writer says, "Men die in darkness at thy side, without a hope to cheer the tomb." Believer, can I say that it is why it is important for you and I as Christians to be soul winners and to point others to Christ for salvation? The need is great, for all around us are people, young and old alike, and they are lost in sin. They're perishing in sin. My, their lives are ruined by sin, and if they die in their sin, they are lost in hell forevermore. The Bible says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." No matter who that person is, no matter where they are to be found, if they die in sin, their soul goes away into everlasting punishment that will never end, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Also, we can say further today, dear child of God, yes, you and I, we need to be soul winners. Why? Because the ungodly themselves have no concern whatsoever for the salvation of others from their sins. Turn in your Bible back to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. And go down to verse number 4 of that psalm. And you'll see here how David makes a terrible lament, a most sad complaint. He says in verse 4 of Psalm 142, I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man, he says, cared for my soul. What a lament, what a complaint, what a thing to say. No man cared for my soul. And that is how it is with the ungodly. They have no concern for the souls of others. Child of God, the Bible says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if we are to love our neighbors as we ought, we must bring the gospel to them. We must seek to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. People in the second week of gospel mission that lies before us in the will of the Lord, let us pray daily for the mission and for the going forth of the word of God at the meetings. Let us do all we can to invite others in under the sound of God's word. Let us do all we can to support the meetings night by night, and especially gather the unsaved that we know that we rub shoulders with day by day to get them in under the sound of God's word. How vital that is for us as Christians and for us as a church. Then also we can say further this morning, child of God, yes, you and I, we are to be soul winners, because it is the plan of God to use his people to lead others to Christ for salvation. We heard that on Thursday night past when our brother Chris gave his testimony. When he was lying ill in hospital, it was a Christian doctor who witnessed to him, who shared with him the gospel, and through that he was saved by the grace of God. And it is the plan of God from the very beginning of time to the end of time to use his people to point and to lead others to Christ for salvation. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ himself was teaching Simon Peter and Andrew in our text today in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19. When he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He was saying this was God's plan for them as Christians, to lead others to Christ. And that is God's plan for all of us who were saved. Again, that same plan is highlighted in the words of the Great Commission. Go over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and to the final verses of that chapter, Christ is speaking to his people before he goes to heaven. And he says in verses 19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Child of God, that's our mandate for being soul winners for Christ. Again, think of what you read in Mark's gospel. The Lord says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to go to all nations, all kinds and colors of people, and share with them the gospel and seek to point them to Christ for salvation. Believer, always remember this: when you go outside the door of this church, you enter into your mission field and our mission field as a congregation. And may there be people to witness to in our homes, in our family circles, in the community and neighborhood where you and I live and reside, in the places of employment where God has placed us day by day, and wherever else the Lord leads us in his providence and his will, there we are to witness for the Lord and do what we can to win others to the Savior. The hymn writer says, speak just a word for Jesus. Tell how he died for you. Often repeat the story, wonderful and glad and true. Oh, we're to often repeat that great story of Christ's redeeming love and grace in our lives. Yes, we see the need for soul winners, but not only the need for soul winners. Notice secondly today, notice the condition for soul winning. Look again at what the Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4 and the verse number 19 to Simon Peter and to his brother Andrew. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. To be soul winners and fishers of men, then as believers, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, they must follow Christ. That's what the Lord says to them there. He says, follow me. And dear Christian, in the meeting today, the same applies to you and I also. If we are to win others to Christ, we ourselves must follow Christ. Over in John's Gospel, chapter number 12, the Lord again is speaking about the life of the Christian, and he says these remarkable words in John chapter 12 and the verse number 26, he says, if any man serve me, he says, let him follow me. And this was the condition that the Lord was setting down before Simon, Peter, and Andrew, indeed before all his people, if we are to win others to Christ. And that leads us to ask a vital question. What then does it mean to follow Christ for us who are saved, who are believers in the Lord? Well, dear believer, today, if you and I are to follow Christ, we must be living in obedience to the Word of God for our lives. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was one who perfectly obeyed the Word of God. He could say, I do always those things that please Him. And the Bible says to you and I as Christians, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And my, if we are to follow Christ, then we must be living in obedience as Christians to the Word of God for our lives. Also, dear Christian, to follow Christ means you and I also yielding to the Lord's guidance, yielding to the Lord's will for our lives. And again, that was so with Christ. He could say to his heavenly Father, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Turn your Bible over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Here with Christ in prayer before the cross in Gethsemane. Notice what he prays and how he prays. Luke chapter 22 and the verse number 42 of the chapter. It says of Christ in prayer, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And that was the entire testimony of the life of Christ, not my will, but thine be done. And dear Christian, if you and I are to follow the Lord, we must be yielded to the will of God, the counsel of God for our lives. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It was one of the Puritan preachers who said to God's people, take God into thy counsel. How vital it is over to follow Christ, we yield it to the will of God. Also, dear child of God, we can say further this morning that to follow Christ means you and I living holy lives as Christians. Lives that are separate from sin. That's how it was with Christ. The Bible speaks of Christ and says he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Indeed, the Bible says to you and I as Christians, it says, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. The hymn writer says, if we consciously trifle with sin, we will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to. And the Lord says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And then we can say further to Father Christ means you and I as believers having a compassion, having a love in her heart for those who are lost in sin. That's how it was with Christ. The Bible says of Christ that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion toward them. His entire heart and being was moved with compassion to those toward those in great need. And that compassion took him all the way to the cross. For Paul could speak of Christ and he could say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Speaking to the believer in Jude, verse 22, Jude says, and if some have compassion, making a difference. And people of God, if we are to have a burden for souls, then we need something of the compassion of Christ, something we need to pray for. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And we can say further today, to follow Christ means depending upon him for wisdom. The Lord himself was one of perfect wisdom. The Bible says he has made unto us wisdom. The Bible declares he that winneth souls is wise. And how you and I, we need wisdom to speak a word in season to those who are weary in sin. And the Lord is one who can give us wisdom. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Maybe, Christian, there's somebody in your mind today, somebody you know and love who is unsaved, and you wonder how on earth I can speak to them. What am I going to say to them? Maybe somebody that you work with in your neighborhood, wherever. Pray, believer. God will give you wisdom, the right words to speak to them at the right time, that God would open up the door. And God will guide you and direct you aright. The Bible says, as for God, his way is perfect. And then to follow Christ means us depending upon the power of the Holy Spirit to convict sinners of their sin and to draw them in faith to Christ for salvation. Think again of Christ. He was one who was perfectly filled with the Spirit of God. Turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4. And notice here particularly what we read about Christ and the reference to the fullness of the Holy Spirit in his life and in his public ministry. Luke chapter 4, notice how the chapter begins. Luke 4, verse 1. It says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Notice it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that did not, as it were, mean that he did not have any battles or trials to face. You read the very next verses following on from that. You read of his time of temptation and testing in the wilderness when he was attacked by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. But he was victorious in that. And look at his ministry again after that time of temptation. Go down to verse 14 of the chapter. Notice what it says. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about." Galilee was despised by the Jews, but Christ went there in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit, and God richly blessed his ministry there. Look at what he says further on down the chapter in verses 18 and 19. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." But people, the thing to note here, and it's recorded in the scriptures for our instruction as Christians, that Christ was one who was filled with the Spirit of God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, God the Father richly blessed his public ministry in a mighty and a powerful way. And that reminds us, dear Christians, in the work of God and in the task of soul winning, we need the Lord's help, the Lord's power, the power of the Spirit of God. The Lord says, "Without me ye can do nothing." However, the Lord in his grace and mercy has promised the power of the Holy Spirit to his people when we pray, when we ask. He says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" Make that your prayer, dear Christian, as you launch out for God and serving God and witnessing for God. And dear Christian, through the mighty help of God, the Holy Spirit, God can bless you. And God can use your efforts to the saving of souls and the pointing of others to Christ. The Lord says in the book of Hosea, "From me is thy fruit found." Oh, the need for soul winners, the condition for soul winning. Notice something else in connection with our text today. Notice the reward of the soul winner. Look again at what Christ says here to his disciples in Matthew 4, verse 19. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And believer, remember this today. When you are the means of pointing a soul to Christ for salvation, there is a great reward. Yes, there's a reward of seeing that life saved. A life saved from the ruin of sin and a soul delivered from a lost eternity in hell itself. Ever keep that before you. Turn your Bible over to James chapter number 5. Over to the book of James. After the book of Hebrews, you come to James. James chapter 5. Go down to the very end of that chapter, to verses 19 and 20 of the chapter. Notice what it says. It says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death,
and shall hide a multitude of sins. And when you're the means of pointing a soul to Christ, that life is saved from the ruin of sin. That soul is saved from a lost eternity in hell itself. Also, dear believer, there's a reward of bringing delight to God. The salvation of souls brings great delight to God. You think of what Christ says in Luke chapter 15, verse number 7. He says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And God is delighted when a soul is saved. For does he not say in his word, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked? Also, when a soul is saved and a soul trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, God the Father, he sees the fruit. He sees, if you like, the revenue of the sufferings of Jesus Christ, his Son, upon the cross. Christ makes mention of that himself in John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 24, when he says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And there Christ was speaking about his own death and the fruit of that death in the salvation of souls. My, whenever a person has saved another one of Christ's sheep, the sheep of Christ for whom Christ died, is safely gathered into the family of God, and that brings great delight to God the Father. Remember that, dear Christian. The work of soul winning brings delight to God, delight to heaven. And then there's also the reward of the Lord's commendation. And you see that in the parable of the talents. When the two faithful servants are commended by the Lord. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew's Gospel chapter 25. And look with me there in verses 20 to 23 of the chapter. And notice what the Lord says here. Commending the two faithful servants who used their gifts and talents to multiply and to gather others to themselves. Verse 20 to 23 of Matthew 25. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 22, he also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into thou the joy of the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servants. Brethren and sisters in Christ, here we have a great encouragement from the lips of Christ himself to win others to Christ for salvation. Believer, in light of this encouragement, let us so live, let us so labor to have the Lord's commendation at the end of life's journey for us as Christians. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. William Gladstone, a former Prime Minister of Britain, was a Christian. On one occasion, William Gladstone, that former Prime Minister, he left off the writing of a very important speech for Parliament that day. And the reason for this was to lead a dying child to Christ for salvation. Yes, the Prime Minister, he left his important work, what he was doing for Parliament that day, but he left it for the most important work that any Christian can do, that work of pointing a soul to Christ. Brethren and sisters in Christ, as you and I step out into this new week, let us pray that God would lead us to souls. Let us pray that God would give us the joy of speaking a word for the Lord to others and the joy of pointing others to Christ for salvation. May this ever be our chief work. May this ever be our main pursuit in life as God's people, to win others to the Savior, the Son of God. And maybe you're here in the meeting today and you do not know
the Lord as Savior. Friend, let me say this. If you're to know God's pardon for sin, God's peace, God's presence in your life, a home in God's heaven, then as a repentant sinner, you must come to the Lord Jesus and trust Him and rest upon His sacrifice alone for your salvation. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And praise God, when you trust Christ as Savior, you too can witness for the Lord and be the means of pointing others to Christ. The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This day, come to Christ, trust Him as Savior. Start out for heaven. Start living for Christ. And God will bless you and use you for His honor and for His glory. We'll just close our meeting, please, with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy presence. And this great call from Christ, follow me, and I will make Thee fishers of men. Help us, each one who are saved, to follow Thee day by day. Ever give us that love for souls, that burden for souls. And Lord, give us opportunities to speak a word for the Lord, be it at home, be it in our neighborhoods where we live, be it in our places of employment or wherever else Thou would lead us and guide us, so that we might, by Thy grace and strength and power alone, be the means of winning others to the Lord our Savior. Remember any in the meeting today not saved, speak to them. They come to know Christ and to trust Him, to rest upon Him alone for salvation. Start out for heaven and start living for Him day by day. Bless us, O God, as we would wait shortly around Thy table. For all who stay, we pray that Thou would bless and meet the need of every heart and life. And for any who cannot stay, give them traveling mercies on their homeward journey. Bless us throughout the week that lies before. And Lord, just speak on, we beseech of Thee. When the voice of man is silent, we pray. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. We're going to close our meeting today by singing together the hymn number 513 in your hymn book. 513, blessed is the service of our Lord and King. Precious are the jewels we may help to bring. Down the passing ages, words of counsel ring. He that winneth souls is wise. We'll stand as we sing. After the singing of the opening verse and course of this hymn, I'd be going to the door. If you cannot stay for the Lord's table, we'd be there to greet you. But we would encourage as many as possible to remain behind and remember the Lord's death in His own appointed way. 513, we'll stand as we sing.